Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Great to be with you on the day after Veterans Day. And I've got a couple of great emails that came in late yesterday from the, from listeners that I think are worthy of sharing with you. Today, we have some interesting things to talk about over a cup of coffee, because that's what this show is, right? Politics over a cup of coffee. It's the big DACA show today. Well, not necessarily here, but in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. So here's what's interesting about DACA. You know, this is Obama's executive order that basically legalizes the children of illegal aliens who were brought here as children, as illegal aliens themselves, while they were kids. Obama basically went around federal law with an executive order and allows those kids to not be deported, allows those kids to have work permits, a number of other things. In essence, really making them full legal citizens, not with the ability to vote quite yet, but soon. So this is something worthy of our conversation today because it revolves around the future of this nation. What will be the future of this nation if the U.S. Supreme Court does not strike down this unconstitutional and illegal policy? Because that's what it is. Now, at the same time, what do you think we should do for some of these kids who only know America as their home? They don't know Mexico or Honduras or Guatemala as their home. They know America. What do we do as a compassionate society? I'm still under the rule of law, but how do we accommodate their existence in America? What does the rule of law really mean? So when I talk about the future of this country, yeah, I think this is a big part of that. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Also, I want to talk about the Corvallis school board member who has decided to resign because of her tweet. Well, this person identifies as binary. Yeah, I'm not kidding you, folks. Only in Oregon and only in Corvallis could somebody get elected who is binary. Oh, I know it's coming other places, but good grief. Anyway, this board member sent out a tweet. And it's so bad because it drew national attention. It's so bad that the board member had to resign. Now, what does this say about Corvallis? What does this say about the people of Corvallis that would elect somebody like this? Now, it may not be have known, but this is where we come into play. This is where you, as someone who cares about politics, or maybe you are just learning about politics in your life and you know that you need to do something. You've been convicted in your heart. You need to do something other than just voting now. Okay. Maybe you've been convicted in your heart that you need to start this process of being a persuader, persuading the persuadables. Maybe you need to run for office. Maybe you need to support a candidate who's running for office and engage in a particular activity that would expose this type of thinking before somebody gets elected. And what would that activity be? Well, I'll get into that as we go through. It's also an interesting story, by the way, on OregonWatchdog.com out of the Corvallis Gazette Times. And this is a Capitol Bureau story, but it was in the Corvallis Gazette Times about the, well, here's the headline. Unions see decline in dues-paying members. Okay, now that's a direct result, there's no question, of the Janus decision, but also the Freedom Foundation's incredible work here in Oregon. I mean, who would have ever thunk it, huh? All of a sudden now, and this absolutely flies in the face of everything that the unions have been telling us. Whenever there's a story written about this, they always go to a union representative, whether it's SEIU or AFSCME, and they ask them for comment and say, no, we're not losing members. We're gaining members. That's a lie. Because this story says that state data that was obtained by the Oregon Capitol Bureau reporters, state data shows that there have been double-digit declines in the number of state workers that are actually paying dues. If you put the two largest state government, I'm not going to include teachers here, but I'm going to include state government workers. That's SEIU 503 and AFSCME Council 75. They only represent about 29,000 workers today. Now, again, this is data obtained through the Department of Administrative Services through public records requests. And then they go into this long thing here, but there's an interesting, this, it's a long story given the history of Janus and all of this, but here's where they go for a quote. The University of Oregon Labor Education and Research Center, a professor at the University of Oregon, a professor. Now, I want you to think about this, because this is the kind of stuff that you get from the University of Oregon. But you might be shocked to know, because I'm going to tell you, who pays for this stuff. You might be shocked. It isn't who you think. It's who you wouldn't think. Here's what this professor at the University of Oregon at the Oregon's Labor Education and Research Center, Gordon Later is his name. He has an analogy for the Janus decision. Quote, I always think of this as if the city of Eugene told me that part of my tax that goes to pay for the fire department is now optional, but they'll still come and put out the flames if my house catches fire. It's actually Gordon Laffer, not Later. He goes on to say, you may not opt out of paying the tax necessarily because you're against the fire department, but because times are tough and one of your bills just became optional. That is such a gross distortion of what the Janus decision was and is. All of that we're going to talk about today. 503-589-1220 is the Power Up Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220 and emails, if you send them to me, I'll do my darndest to read them before the end of the show. That means you got to wake up, you got to listen to the show, and you got to tell me what you want by email before the end of the show. Because many times those emails come in as the show has just ended, and I don't get a chance to read them, and I'd like to. Some fascinating things to talk about today. What should we as a compassionate society do with these DACA kids? These are the kids brought here by their parents illegally. Wasn't their fault. They didn't do it. What do we do with them? Especially if so many of them, not all of them, but so many of them were brought here as children, and this is the only country they know. What do we do with them as a compassionate society? Now, the opposite side of that argument is that what message do we send if we say, yeah, it's okay to come here, bring your children here illegally, and basically your kids get to stay? Which means, of course, as you know, the policy is that the parents get to stay. All of this was done as an overt contravention against federal law. That makes it unconstitutional. Now, a part of this was struck down as unconstitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, by the Court of Appeals, not the U.S. Supreme Court. You know what that was? Well, see, Obama went the next step. Obama said, well, you know, since the kids now are allowed to stay by my executive action, because it's the compassionate right thing to do, let's let their parents stay so that they don't, you know, break up a family. Now, nobody wants to break up any families, right? I mean, that was the liberal idea here. And frankly, it's a conservative idea. Nobody wants to break up families, right? But again, what message do you what message do you send to other people that want to come to America and enjoy our great constitutional protections and frankly, enjoy the opportunity that America is, the hope, the whole theme of America? What message do you send if you say, yeah, you know, none of that really matters. You can go ahead and come. And if you come, we won't send you back and you get to stay. You get to work, you get to stay, you get to basically enjoy all the benefits. And you know what that means is really what they're trying to do here is they are trying to increase the opportunity that eventually some state is going to legalize voting for illegal aliens. Now, it is being done in some small cities in California. It's true, they are. It has informally been done and will happen here in Oregon. I don't care what they say at the Secretary of State's office, folks. The reality is illegal aliens can register to vote in Oregon. It's the bottom line. And automatically, through Kate Brown's law, which has passed, it's just that anybody who gets a driver's license is automatically registered to vote. And you have to opt out of that. Now, the president tweeted early in the day and said, you know what? A lot of these are bad actors. A lot of these people are criminals. And you know what? There's lots of data to back that up. But not everybody is. So what do you do? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. What message do we send if we allow this to stand? What message do we send about the Constitution, about executive power? What message do we send to the rest of the world? But more importantly, if this is allowed to stand, what kind of America will we ultimately become if this, in essence, allows open borders? And do you think for 1 minute that the Republicans, yes, you heard me right, that the Republicans and the Democrats in Congress are ever going to fix this? Not on your life. Because Republicans want the illegals here for different reasons than the Democrats do. The Republicans want that cheap labor. Business wants the cheap labor. Democrats want them to become voters, want them to flood America so that they can continue to divide the country, because the cultural divide will be enormous. In fact, it already is. And that means there'll be no allegiance or assimilation to our Constitution, to the principles of liberty. It's 620. What do you think? 503-589-1220. What do we do about the DACA kid? Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back, friends. Great to have you with us. Hey, you know, here's an interesting postscript to that story we talked about. You know, but the red state story that I talked about, how so many Democrats are showing up at Trump rallies and that how a lot of the people showing up other than Democrats, are people who have not voted in a very long time. Now, here's what's interesting. Remember how Trump showed up in that Louisiana rally? And he's going back again tonight. Now, he was, of course, at the rally and brought up all of these Republicans that were running, including Eddie Rasponi, who's the business guy who's running against the current Democrat governor, John Bel Edwards, of the Edwards family, which is a dynasty there and was also a very corrupt dynasty. Well, Eddie Rasponi and the current Democrat are now in a dead heat, according to this latest poll. This is a stunning turnaround because it also is a testament to the power of Trump. Because Eddie Rasponi, the Republican business guy, not a politician, and if you heard him speak the other night at the Trump rally, you know why. Eddie Rasponi's been way behind the Democrat governor, okay, who has huge name ID. So this is the power of Trump, friends. Now, Trump went to the LSU, Louisiana State University, Alabama football game. It was in Alabama, but he went there. Guess where he's going again? I think Friday night, back to Louisiana. This is the power of having Donald Trump come to your state. Friends, I'm telling you that all of these people who have not been voting have not been voting for a reason, and Donald Trump is bringing them out to vote now. And in Oregon, if this is a phenomenon that we are seeing all across the country, why wouldn't we see it in Oregon? We would. We should. Now, I'll get to some of the other stories, but I got to go to the phones, 503-589-1220. Let's go first to George. George, good morning. What do you have to say today?
Good morning. What we should do is go after Kate Brown and Barack Obama.
How so?
Well, if they broke the law or something like that, or they let it go after them. That's where we have to start. We got to stop these guys, and that's where you stop them.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because oftentimes the politicians pay no real political price for this.
Well,
maybe for instance, well, Donald Trump. Well, Rudy Giuliani, on behalf of Donald Trump, was thinking about suing members of Congress who were lying about the president outside of the halls of Congress, because they might be able to do that, and that individual member of Congress would not be protected by congressional lawyers or congressional free speech statutes if they talked like that outside of Congress. Now, wouldn't that sort of achieve what you're suggesting here?
I'm not quite sure. But you've got to stop those people, period. That's it.
So how would we do that, though?
Just do it.
I mean, so how do you stop them, though? You say you got to stop Barack Obama and Kate Brown. So how do you do it? I mean, do you recall them? Do you impeach them? What do you do?
Make an example out of them that they can't do that. That's all. That's what jails are for.
So you're suggesting if they break the law, throw them in jail.
What's that?
You're suggesting that if they break the law, we throw them in jail.
Yeah. Can we have people that are just treasonous people running the government? I don't think so.
In theory, no.
That's all we got to do. Else it'll never stop.
Well, you're right about that. And this, and George, thank you. I appreciate your call. You're right about that, because this really relates to exactly this impeachment business. But even the impeachment, all of the things that led up to impeachment, the fake dossier, the Mueller investigation, all of those FISA warrants that were illegally granted because they weren't based on the factors of law. Until somebody goes to jail for having engineered and orchestrated that coup, you're right. This will continue. I mean, I am in full agreement with you. Somebody has to be held accountable. Let's go to our second caller. Caller, good morning. Who are you?
Hello.
Good morning.
Dwight.
Hi there. Who's this?
This is Dwight. Hello.
Hi, Dwight. Thanks for calling. What do you have to say today?
I'm just curious. about the DACA children. You know, how come I don't think I've ever heard anybody say we need to ask these people, in the years that you have been here, have you done anything to try to gain legal citizenship? What have you lifted your finger to even ask them, could I get in line to be legal while I'm still here? I haven't heard anybody say that. Have you?
I have not, and I got to tell you, that's an excellent question. Kudos to you for coming up with something that I have not heard expressed by anybody in the political world, in the news media, or anybody else.
Thank
because
you.
I think the presumption is, Dwight, I truly, I think it is, the presumption is that they don't need to because they were brought here. And as we as children, as we as compassionate society, we shouldn't make them jump through that hoop. I think you're right. I think we should. So let me ask you this question quickly. Do you think we should say, okay, you can stay, but you got to go serve in the military?
Well, if you want all the rights of living here, you should probably have accepted responsibilities too, I guess.
Excellent. Excellent observation on your part, Dwight. Thank you. I appreciate it. I totally agree. I have not heard anybody say that question, and I think that's a reasonable question to ask. If you know you're here illegally, and you are brought here as a child, and now you are an adult, or maybe even as a child, shouldn't you be working through some organization? Shouldn't you be asking for citizenship? Shouldn't you be trying to get in line? It's not like the government's going to deport you, because frankly, they can't under DACA. What do you think about all this? What should we do as a compassionate society? It's 6:30 in the morning. Politics with your coffee. See.
Hating believers have light on their faces as they march through town to the riverside. They baptize believers in this celebration of the
Stop the Car. We gotta move. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 24 minutes before the top of the hour. If you're just joining us, here's what we're talking about on Political Coffee, because politics matters. It's important. This DACA business is before the U.S. Supreme Court today. In my opinion, as a former lawmaker here in Oregon, anyway, it is unconstitutional because it's an executive order that goes against federal law. Can't do that. Now, a bunch of Trump's executive orders have been struck down, and a further executive order issued by Barack Obama in relation to the parents of these DACA kids, it was struck down by a federal appeals court as unconstitutional. Okay. So what does that mean? If we let it stand, where does it lead us? Now, Dwight, who called in, just had a great question. And I didn't think of this. Well, I'm glad he called in, because you know what? He's right. Nobody is asking this question about what are these kids doing, these DACA kids, if anything, to gain their citizenship. Again, it's not like they're afraid to do something. Why? Because under DACA, which is still the policy of America, even though Trump said, no, we're going to end it, that's why it's in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. Because the judge said, no, we're going to let it go. A liberal judge, of course. So now it's in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. So it's not like they're going to be deported, because they're not. That's a fair question to ask. Now, by the way, to all of you callers, I really try to take you in the order that you call in. So I know we may be going to a break, but, you know, if you're not going to call back in, you know, just stay on the line, even though we're going through a break. I know some of you do, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate all of you who not only listen, but do call. So Just stay on the line, and we'll get to you in the order that we call, or you call, rather. So what do you think? I mean, what do we do as a compassionate society, even a compassionate society that understands the significance of the rule of law? What do we do with these kids? We're here illegally, but we're brought here through no fault of their own. What do we do? What message do we send if we don't make the law accountable to everyone? Or make everyone accountable to the law, rather. I mean, nobody's above the law, right? Isn't that what the Democrats are saying about Trump? Shouldn't we say that about these kids? Especially the ones that have not necessarily been model citizens, shall we say. 503-589-1220, 503-589-1220. Send me an email. I'll do my best to read it on the air. We'll go to Art. Art, good morning. What do you have to say today?
Well, I'm glad you're taking this up, because maybe we'll have some line of where in the heck do we go from here. We obviously know that our federal legislature has been sitting on their hands and not addressing this problem and issue, and of course it's gotten worse and worse. And to answer Dwight's question, well, these DACA kids don't know what direction to go or what to do, because, you know, Obama did this executive order and all that kind of stuff. If there was a laid out plan, Jeff, then I think they actually would do something, because the law says this is what you have to do. You have to get in the back of the line. You can stay here, but you do have to start the process of becoming a citizen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so, depending on what our wonderful Supreme Court comes up with, that at least is going to hopefully send some direction to the legislature that, hey, you guys got to get off your duff. And, you know, if you want these kids to stay here, then you have to pass a law to allow them to become citizens and be here legally, because right now, obviously, they're not legal, Jeff. You know that, and I know that, but they sort of have been legal because of what Obama did, and that, I think we're going to have some clear direction once the Supreme Court comes up with their ruling, and hopefully, because we know the Democrats, you know, whenever a proposal comes up, they say, oh, no, that's not good enough. We want more and more people to be allowed to come in. And you and I both know that is what has been the problem in resolving this issue. Nobody
Absolutely.
Wants to come up with a
Absolutely.
final
it's just
thing.
All politics is all it is here. Now, it's an Art, thank you for the call. I'm going to let you go because I want to be able to get to some other people. 503-589-1220, if you want to weigh in on this issue. What do we do with these kids who were brought here illegally, and so many of them are actually consider themselves in every way to be an American citizen, to be an American? This is the only country they've ever known. Quite seriously, they are, in every sense of the word, Americans. Some of them may be conservatives. Some of them may be constitutionalists who believe in the founder's vision of this country. Those inalienable rights, those things that I talk about that you believe in, that I believe in, that are so important. How do we deal with it? Now, Art just laid out something that I think in part does answer Dwight's excellent question. What are these kids doing to achieve legal status in America? Art's point is, well, there may not be a pathway for them right now. And the U.S. Supreme Court's going to, well, if they rule against DACA, that in fact Trump can unwind DACA and that it is unconstitutional, okay, will that force Congress then to act, or will the Democrats try to use this as an election year issue? Now, the timeline for this, friends, is you need to understand is that, yeah, they're hearing oral arguments today. This will not be decided. I mean, we're in November. It won't be decided. It won't be released till probably sometime in May or June. And the reason I say that is because that's normally when these decisions, even though they will have been decided sometime over between now and then, they won't, their decision won't be released. So it'll be released in the middle of a campaign. Don't think for one minute that the Democrats are going, and our sense of this is absolutely correct. They're not going to give Donald Trump anything, especially any kind of a compromise on DACA. Now, Trump has offered previously the opportunity to engage in discussions with the Democrats using DACA. In fact, Trump went far beyond the 700,000 or 800,000 number. He has frankly said that, you know, let's let them all stay. Let's give them the rights of citizenship, which is different than what DACA is. DACA doesn't confer citizenship. Doesn't allow them to vote. Trump went further than that. In exchange for what? Well, in exchange for the money to build the wall. In exchange for the change in federal policy on chain migration. And a whole host of other things that really are dumb and have contributed to part of this problem. Okay. Now, if Trump is willing to offer that, how do you feel about that? Now, again, doesn't that, as big a supporter of I am of Trump, what message does that send? Does that send the wrong message? Again, if this is, now what Trump is saying, we need to change federal law to be able to do this. Okay, because right now, this whole argument about DACA is about unconstitutional actions, illegal actions, is what it boils down to, of an executive order that goes around federal law. So if that's a problem, go change federal law. It's not rocket science. But again, if we say, because we are compassionate, that these kids, not all of them, but many of these kids brought here as very young children. Now, some of these kids, by the way, under the DACA program, I think some of you may know this better than I, but I thought that the age was, if you were brought here at age 14 and under. Now, I don't know how much you are of a kid at 14. I could see maybe if you were like 10 or 11 or 12, but 14, yeah. Anyway, some of these kids who are brought here at a very young age, this is the only country they know. They don't speak Spanish necessarily. Maybe some do, but I'm sure many of them do because their parents probably speak it at home. But others may not. It's the only country they know. They may be just as conservative as we are, consider themselves to be just as American as we are. Okay. If the Supreme Court says no, this was an illegal act on the part of Obama, do we deport these kids? What do we do with them? They are Americans in every sense of the word. Now, on the other hand, if we do not do something, what message do we send to the rest of the world? What message do we send to the rest of these convoys of people, George Soros and other liberals, billionaires, are financing these organizations that are down in Guatemala and Honduras and Mexico, facilitating these people coming to this country illegally, these kids, knowing that it is a scam? What do we do? 503-589-12. Rebecca, who's on the line, and anybody else who wants to call in at 648. This is important. Let's talk.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back, friends. It is the last segment for today. Before we go to Rebecca and others, 503-589-1220. By the way, Anne-Marie sent me a great email about this issue. Don't they have a pathway to citizenship? I mean, that really sort of gets to what Dwight said, what Art called in and said about. No, they can't, actually. There is not a pathway for them to become citizens under the current rules. And yet, there are other pathways that could be followed, but not as DACA kids. Yes, there are illegals there, and there are ways that illegals can become citizens in America. That's a further discussion, and we will get to it probably a little bit later, because, folks, this issue is not going away. Believe me, it's not going away, nor should it. We need to truly grapple with this and come up with a policy that stands for the rule of law, but it's also truly compassionate in so many ways. 503-589-1220. And I do mean in so many ways, because what we cannot do is create a program that sends mixed messages or the wrong messages, because the world is watching, folks. More importantly, if government, and I've said this for years, and this is so true, if government says it's okay to look the other way for one group of people, and then the rest of us have to abide by a law they don't have to, government loses all moral authority. And that's the reality of it. All moral authority under the principles of the Constitution to demand that you and I or anybody else adhere to any law, because it renders the law meaningless, truly meaningless. And if we're going to say they're kids, that these kids can stay, what about their parents? Well, they do have a pathway to leadership or to citizenship. So, friends, I want to remind you that if you have not tried CBD oil products of various types, you really should consider it. It works for me. I use it. Maybe not every day, but I use it when I need it. And it does work for me. And I think maybe if you're kind of willing to try it, you should go down and talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down in South Commercial in Salem, right next to Safeway. They can share with you stories about some of their regular customers who buy products from them. This is where I buy my products. I buy CannaShield products. CannaShield is very high-quality CBD oil-based products. And they have various strengths. They have full spectrum, which is all of the many. There's like 100 compounds in cannabinoids. 100. And many of these may be doing good things for your body. You may not even know it. And it's all natural, and you don't have to worry about it, especially CannaShield, because it's sourced right here in the Mid-Valley. It's right here in Oregon. You can be assured it's good stuff. They've got a great website. Why don't you check it out? VimSalem.com. V-I-M, VimSalem.com. You can learn more about it, or you can just go down and visit with them. Again, they're at South Commercial right next to Safeway. Let's go to Rebecca, who's on the line. Rebecca, what do you say this morning?
Good morning. This is a huge topic, of course, but the rewarding of illegal actions, you keep talking about giving them, letting them into the military. Well, what is the purpose of the military? Is the military a social program where we put people who don't speak English? They have no verification of who they are. We have actually no idea what their age is. and we don't know what country they actually came from. All we know about them is what they tell us about themselves. And if there are children here, we don't know if they were brought here or if they came on their own. Let's say there's a 14-year-old, if he's 14. When that person reaches military age, should he be given a position in our society where he's going to be cared for by us until he dies? He's going to have a pension and will be obligated to him in every way through, but what it does is it makes our military a social program instead of having it be the citizens of this country defending the citizens of this country. Now, I'm not opposed to having people who come from other countries fight in our battles if we create a mercenary army. A mercenary army is just hired for the moment to do a particular chore, and then our obligation to them is over. We've paid them to do what they do. But a person who becomes a citizen veteran, we obligate ourselves to them for the rest of their life, and it's like a welfare program for the entire world to come be a part of. And what if jihadists come from other countries through the Mexican border and come to be in our military? They can do extreme damage to our people. We need to figure out what is an American citizen and not reward people for going outside of, like, the whole thing of voting. We're rewarding people for coming here and doing something illegal, and then we allow them to vote. It dilutes. What is the purpose of voting? The purpose of voting is to give the citizens a voice. We've been given an emotional appeal. When an order is given in the military, are we going to give it in 14 languages like we do with voting? It just doesn't.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, fair questions all, Rebecca, and thanks for calling in, and let me respond, because I'm going to let you go. We're almost at the end of the show, but let me just respond. In my mind, knowing how we do things in the military today, at least under Trump, the military has become very politically correct, but still, there is something that happens to you, generally speaking, when you go through our process of boot camp and becoming part of a team of people. Again, you enter the military voluntarily. This is not done by the draft, so you'll want to go there. So you are indoctrinated in the ways of military leadership in this country. That pays many benefits in terms of your thought processes, how you live your life. You know, we just talked about all those veteran statistics yesterday on Veterans Day. And it is true. It's because of the instilling of an attitude, a thought process. You become a great citizen or a greater citizen. And I think that if illegal aliens are here, my personal belief is if you're willing to put your life on the line for us, you should be allowed to serve in the military and earn your citizenship, just as anybody else. It's an issue we're going to continue to grapple with. And there aren't no simple answers. We'll get back and talk about it more tomorrow and other things. Join us then, won't you? Make it a great day. Bless you.